Todo lo que pienso sale de mí, sale de mí, sale de mí. Todo lo que pienso sale de mí, sale de mí, sale de mí. Todo lo que pienso sale de mí, sale de mí, sale de mí. Todo lo que pienso sale de mi boca con las palabras, sale de mi mente con la mirada, sale de mis ojos con lágrimas claras. Sale de mi alma,
sale de mi alma,
sale de mi alma,
sale de mi alma,
sale, sale de mi corazón.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Bienvenidos, bienvenidas, bienvenides. Today, we're doing an experiment here. We're going to be presenting you with a case study of a project that I was lucky to start and work in last year. But we're going to be doing this in a very casual way. We're going to do a podcast talking and focusing specifically about arts and culture. And I would like for my friends and partners in this adventure to introduce themselves. How are you doing, guys?
Great, thank you for asking. My name is Alex Law. I am a dancer choreographer in the Bay Area, as well as, you know, an art admin, producer, whatever they need me to be. And I'm really excited to talk about this arts and capital, given that there is not much transparency around the topic. Everyone here is a little bit, everyone knows how hard it is to be an artist in the Bay Area, but no one knows how people actually survive here. So this fellowship has kind of excavated the details and the specifics on how we can build transparency and connect on this topic.
My name is Therese Davis. I also go by Mo. A lot of people know me as Mo Cheese Coast. I am a social practice artist administrator, creative and life coach. And I am really excited about talking about these topics as well. I really appreciate the Emerging Arts Professional Program and the focus of empowering leadership and growth for the next generation of arts and culture workers in San Francisco Bay Area. So I'm really excited about sharing the knowledge that we've gained over this last cohort, which is cohort number 10, and just share some of the ideas that we have for some of today's emerging models and mindsets. We hope we can generate some paths for individuals and some meaningful dialogue around this topic. I'm really hoping that this is just the tip of the iceberg in this conversation. It's very timely, and I'm excited about digging in.
Thank you so much. And my name is Arturo Mendez. I am the executive director of La Diaspora Festival. It's an international cultural festival that I was blessed with having the opportunity to start last year. Together with another 20 artists based in the Bay Area, and more particularly in the Mission District. And, well, you know, La Diaspora Festival is a collective movement that spans multiple disciplines, identities, and networks by connecting, identifying communities and their allies through artistic events. And it is an event that goes beyond the event. Artists and community working together to not only organize and perform their art, but also to impact their local and global communities. It explores stories and experiences within identity, seeking to unpack the complex history that migrant communities and communities of color and indigenous native populations have in terms of self-identification. So basically, appealing a little bit to this inner need that we all have to find community, right? But what does it mean to be Latinx, Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Chicano, Chicanx? All of these terms, all of these tags, these labels, these boxes have been created not by us, not by our community, but rather by the US government and basically the capitalism, right? This is not something that has come naturally to us. This is actually something that, again, this is a box that they have tried to put our to put all of us in. But the complexities of this is that they don't acknowledge the history of indigenous people being colonized in the Americas. They don't acknowledge all the Afro-Latinx people that came, that were brought to work also in developing these countries. And they, and I think that what we are trying to do is to come together and trying to heal those divides. So, you know, we are trying to unpack that with this project. And today we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna learn more about the things that we did to bring this project to fruition, to reality. Okay.
We'd like to take this time to share a poem from Monica Maria.
If we are all pieces of the same source, then the peace we seek lies in the peace we need to be. We're all on the same course. This isn't a race. It's all relative. This pace. There's no way to win in a world of separation. Self-inflation, excessive categorization. If one is ahead, that means someone else is behind. And well, that's just not really winning. I find that the only way for us to win this game is for each one of us to realize we're all inherently the same. Just different expressions, reflections, perceptions, but you are who I would even be if I were you. If you find that you're hiding, fighting, biting your tongue, trying to lie to yourself that life is fun, then there's a piece of you just waiting to be switched on. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's gone, and even if you're scared, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. Every bolt, every screw, blade of grass, grain of sand, makes a beach, makes a park, makes the phone in your hand, but you wouldn't use a grain of sand for water or food. So why would you use your life to be anyone but you? It's when we're all flowing and at our own pace that everything else can fall into its place.
That was a beautiful poem by Monica Maria. Okay, directore.
Dígame usted. Tell me.
What was the impetus to start something from nothing?
I feel like it is important to contextualize that we are a community in San Francisco. The Mission District is historically has been the Latinx community of San Francisco. And due to gentrification and displacement in the last 10 to 15 years, we have seen a lot of people, and particularly a lot of artists. In the last 10 years, we have lost 70% of the artists in the city of San Francisco. So there is a component of resilience and, you know, resistance in the community that remains here. So we decided to do something, to start organizing, to create a way to represent ourselves and to let the world know that we are still here, we're resisting, and I'd like to say that we are creating safe spaces for people to connect. And in this way, we honor the power of the arts and we honor the power of our culture. And that is how we decided that we wanted to come together as people in migrant communities in the U.S. to start La Diaspora.
Thank you for sharing that. And the next question I wanted to ask is, how did you address the different kinds of energy, which can be named as money, time, physical vitality, enjoyment, creativity, and the support of your friends?
One of the things that we learn in the fellowship is that a lot of times when we are talking about capital, we relate to money immediately, right? Capital equals money. But what we were talking along the way is that we realized that it's not only money. Like, there are projects that have millions and millions of dollars behind them that just crash, right? And the truth is that we need to nurture all of our creative ideas with all of these forms of energy that you just mentioned, Alex. And I think that we came together with this idea of we have no money. We had zero money. So I went to a couple of my friends and I told them, hey, look, there is a chance for us to go and play a festival in Puebla, in my hometown. But there is no resources. So what do we do? They were very brave to tell me, you know what, let's just gather some people, let's gather some folks, put the idea out there, and if they're willing, we will put it together. We will make sure that everybody has a plane ticket, that everybody has accommodation, to recognizing and acknowledging that we all had other things other than money to make it happen.
That's great. This project is so dynamic. How did the group manage to pull their resources together? I'm curious about the intersectionality.
That is a great question. I think that the heart of the project lies in the realization that the concept of Latinidad is rooted in a lot of systemic oppression of the indigenous and native peoples from the Americas who were colonized, oppression of the African folks who were brought to work on the developing of the new countries, oppression of women and oppression of the LGBTQ community by machismo. And very early on, we came together to talk about these issues and acknowledge as well that the concept of migration itself has a lot of complexities that are not addressed. We have, for example, people who were born in the United States, then grew up in Costa Rica, learning the language, the music, the culture. And how can we say that that is not their culture if it's the only thing they've known since they, you know, were born? So we wanted to honor the complexity of the diaspora, right? This sense of migration from one place to the other, a lot of times forced, a lot of times due to political or economic factors. But we decided to come together with compassion and dignity, assuming that the people who were coming to the table had the best intentions, and if at any point we had any inequity in the group, we would address it by teaching the person, by sharing our experiences, our true experiences, and holding space to everyone to not be perfect, to not know everything, and to grow together. And this is, in a way, a form of social capital that we can utilize in every space that we are in to bring people up. The way that our society has been trying to approach equity is through shame and guilt. How dare you not see me the way that I am? How dare you not knowing my experience? And I think that when you switch the perspective to a lens of compassion where you're willing to teach others, it is easier to come together to heal the divide and to seek for possibility that benefits us all. Not that all of our needs are the same, but rather that we recognize dignity and compassion as a basic need for everybody, and we're willing to give it.
All right. Well, the next thing I wanted to ask was, how was your relationship with money, and how was the group's relationship with money?
From the goal, we did a budget. We created a budget. We realized that we needed at least $15,000 to make this happen. So we had to take a hard look at the ways in which we see ourselves accessing funds, accessing money. We had an amazing ally, Mazin Jamal, who was a key part of this. And Mo, you have worked with Mazin, and you know, you can tell us a little bit about your experience working with him. But he came, he was facilitating a couple of the meetings and just letting us know that these narrative that we have created in our mind around money is the reflection of our experiences lived to this point. However, this is something that needs to be challenged in order to achieve more, to get farther from where we have gotten so far. So with that in mind, we created a crowdfunding campaign where we would ask everybody, every one of us, to send our invitation to 10 people. This was a very simple ask. We all created a video that was just basically asking people to support this project, to let them know the nature, the root of this project. And, you know, we realized that for some folks, it was harder to go with their families, with their friends and say, hey, look, I have this idea. Come support it, right? And I think that as artists, I don't know about your experiences, guys, but I think that as artists, we always see this hill that is so far away. So when we decided that we wanted to collectively heal, collectively look into those narratives and come up with something different, I think that that was something that switched the space into possibility.
Well, I actually have great experience working with Mazin, and I appreciate the mission of his organization, Holistic Underground. They essentially support integrity and success of social and environmental change through professional development, and I've really been impressed with their vision of Holistic Underground, and I've definitely enjoyed my time working with Mazin. I love how he works cooperatively across the lines of differences to, you know, bring transformations around ideas around, you know, arts and capital and what our possibilities are.
Mm. So I just wanted to wrap this bit up with which funding strategies did you guys end up working with, such as crowdfunding, events, grants, sponsors?
Those were the the strategies that we did. You got it.
But one of the things that is important to say is that we didn't put all the eggs in one basket. We definitely tried different strategies, quite honestly, because we didn't know which one was going to give us better results. And honestly, all of them gave us amazing, amazing results. I'll talk more about that after this next break.
But I think this is the perfect moment to share with you guys the ask that we did, the video that we created for the crowdfunding campaign. Now, just so you know what's going on, I crafted a text, a little text, and I asked all of the artists to record themselves reading those lines. Eventually, we gather a bunch of people saying the same things, and I was tasked with creating like a collage of all of our faces, voices, intentions, identities. And this is the result. I think you will be able to understand. And if not, you can check out our YouTube channel or go to our website. And remember to follow us on social media at La Diaspora Fest, both on Facebook and in Instagram. And here it is, our crowdfunding request. Thank you so much for coming to this page. We are La Diaspora Festival. An international culture and arts festival, and we're raising $15,000 to send these beautiful artists from San Francisco and the Bay Area to Puebla, Mexico in November and December of this year. And this is why.
Are we going?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yo soy de Mexico.
Soy de Venezuela.
Soy de Puerto Rico.
I am from the Ute Indian tribe.
I am from Sudan.
I am from California, y también de Costa Rica.
El Salvador.
Mexicano from California.
Cataluña, y la diáspora judía de Chile.
And we are part of la diáspora.
Somos parte da diáspora mestiza.
And we are part of la diáspora mestiza.
We are trying to make it home.
To our motherland.
To showcase to the people.
What happens when you mix?
The moves.
The sounds.
The rhythms.
The forms.
The words.
Of the rest of Latin America.
Con gente migrante de todo el mundo.
Con inmigrantes del mundo entero.
In order to make this happen, we need your help.
Ayúdanos a llegar a nuestra meta de $15,000.
Help us reach our goal of $15,000.
So we can pay for our plane tickets,
accommodation, transportation,
and expenses.
Mota,
La Diaspora Festival
is an international cultural festival
taking 20 artists from San Francisco
in the Bay Area
to Puebla, Mexico.
In November and December of 2019.
We want to create cultural bridges with our roots.
Queremos crear puentes culturales con nuestras raíces.
We want to honor our journey
and that of our ancestors.
And for that, we are putting in all the work.
All the work.
Y para eso estamos poniendo todo nuestro esfuerzo.
Can you empower our vision?
Please donate.
Please donate.
Help us share this.
And follow us on social media.
Gracias.
Gracias. Thank you.
Thank you for being part of this amazing dream.
Thank you.
Tukoyak.
Thank you for being a part of this inspiring project.
Ay, que huepa, huepa!
Huepa!
Yo soy la diáspora.
Yo soy diáspora.
I am la diáspora.
Yo soy la diáspora.
Yo soy la diáspora.
Yo soy la diáspora.
Nahnu el diáspora.
Yo soy la diáspora.
¿Y tú?
So that was the crowdfunding video. And as you can see, well, the first and foremost, thank you so much to everybody that donated. Through this crowdfunding, we gather around $3,500 around. And as you could hear in the video, in this audio that we just presented to you, we were not focusing only on donate money, but we're saying, share this on social media, follow us, invite other people to like this thing, because this is a community that we're doing together. Actually, the closing is Yo soy la diáspora y tú. So it reads, I am la diáspora, how about you? You know, so this is an open invitation for people to be a part, to join this collective movement.
Can you break down the nuances of each funding strategy?
Absolutely. Well, as I was telling you, crowdfunding was just one of the sources that we went for. The other one, big one, was the events. A lot of the work that we put together as a collective went into organizing three events. One of them particularly was a one-day festival with many, many different artists and also many people. We had around 350 people that came out that day. And they celebrated our heritage, our community together. We had Aztec dancers, we had a Mayan rapper rapping in Mayan, we had bomba puertorriqueña, we had Colombian cumbia, we had so many different layers to it. We had decolonized food. We utilized some of the in-kind donation from one of our sponsors to make cocktails. The San Francisco Mexican Museum was there, as well as Lex Mex, an amazing photographer who was there donating her time. And by the end of the day, it was clear that A, we were a community, not only the 20 people that were collectively organizing, but everybody that participated and filled this space with their energy. Number two, that we had already put a lot of work to go to Puebla, and this was the realization that we were collectively making it happen. So there was a big, big celebration. And finally, I think that we realized how important it was for us to carry this message of cultural diplomacy, right? We were going to another country, not just by ourselves, but everybody who came that day, even a couple of my friends who are undocumented folks, they came and said, you know, if I had a chance, I would definitely go with you guys. I would just come and support and be there. But unfortunately, we can't. So I feel like in a sense, we did that festival in San Francisco to honor everybody who was unable to travel with us. And other folks that were with us along the way were our sponsors. We had around 14 or 15 sponsors, particularly Ancho Reyes and Mezcal Montelobos,
are very important because they donated money, but they also gave us an in-kind donation. They gave us a lot of bottles of mezcal that we then turned into cocktails that we sold at the festival. That was a big, big part of our revenue that day. As well as Gente de Más that accommodated us when we were in Puebla. 20 artists for a full week for basically nothing. So we would want to express our gratitude, our deep gratitude to them. This is to say that when you're approaching sponsors, not always you have to think in terms of money, but rather what do you have that we can utilize in making this possible, right? And finally, there is the Daniel Rose Paikin Foundation, I'm sorry if I am not pronouncing that right. But Kate, one of the people who was working actively in the project, she had a relationship with them and just happened to, you know, invite them to participate. They were happy to support us. They gave us a grant, and that was basically a third of the funding for the project. So you see, when you combine all the energy, all the organization, all the resources that everybody brings in, we can truly have something flourish out of nothing. We all came to the table giving what we had, giving the best of ourselves, and that in the end was reflected in an amazing six-day festival in Mexico. But right now we're gonna leave you with Zompantli, which is an amazing, amazing project from my hometown of Puebla. They do ethno-electronic music, meaning electronic music with pre-Hispanic instruments, and they have beautiful gowns and dances. It's very, very powerful and very moving, and we were very lucky to collaborate with them during our festival in Puebla. So here it is, Zompantli.
Once again, we'd like to thank Zompantli.
Woohoo! Great. How many people did you have in these events?
And in Puebla, I think that we reached around 3,000 people. And you know, the way that I know that it was a successful event is that I could see people being very moved, very touched by specific experience. I personally realized this when I was in the main concert. We had a six-hour concert in the city of Puebla, and it was packed with people. But then at a certain point, I looked and I saw this little kid holding the hand of his father, right? And again, this is my hometown. So I in that moment, that projected, that brought back this memory of me walking around El Centro Histórico, holding my dad's hand, just eating some elote or some candy and looking up and being marveled at something. And I saw this kid looking up to the stage and looking at these artists, and I felt myself in that kid. So I, in a way, I was giving that to my own self of 20, 30 years ago. And I feel like that those social connections are very hard to quantify, but when you have the story to tell, that is when you come up, when you realize how successful something was.
Great. How do you keep cultivating your relationship with the partners?
We were very lucky to have around 15 partnerships with different institutions and organizations and around 13 sponsors. And the way that we did, or the way that we are doing it, is basically just letting them know of everything that we are planning, and also letting them know that they can support and they can be a part of this as we move forward. This is a very collective effort, and we want people to know that this collective, you know, once you're in, you can participate in it. Coming in and out of it is a, it makes it it's a live entity, right? So we are growing it. And for everybody who's listening to, if you're interested in participating and learning more about La Diaspora, you can go to our website, ladiasporafestival.com, and just, you know, contact me. My Instagram is at moh.mendez. That is at moh.mendez. And just let's talk about it.
What are the limitations of this case?
I think it is important to mention that for every case study, you can only do it in a, this is a response to the specific context where it happened. And I think that one of the things that is important to mention is that, yes, we are Latinx artists, and we are mostly struggling to, you know, survive in one of the most expensive cities in the country, in the US. But at the same time, our connections and the community that we're surrounded with have also access to a certain amount of resources. And also the fact that we came to all of our partners and all of the people from Puebla with this narrative of this is San Francisco in Puebla, was a big impulse for this impetus. And I think that, you know, for everybody who's doing this outside of this context, well, there's of course things that you guys are gonna have to twitch and modify, but ultimately it's something that we need to acknowledge and recognize, right?
Awesome. What are the plans for the future?
Yeah, well, you know, the conditions of the world we're living in are changing rapidly, so I can tell you the intentions that we have, but there is a certain need for clarity in the world. But as of now, we are planning on releasing a mid-length documentary that we recorded, documenting all of this experience in San Francisco and in Puebla. This will be released, if we get the funding necessary, will be released around August. We were planning on doing a visit to Austin, Texas, to have a three-day festival in Austin, Texas, with the support of the Mexican American Cultural Center in Austin. And finally, we were starting to scout possibilities to take this project to Cartagena, Colombia, to Bogota. The intention of this project is to really allow the space for artists from all the US, all the migrant communities in the US, to explore, to get closer to the roots in Latin America, and not necessarily their roots. Not everybody that went on this trip are Latinx folks or identify as Latinx folks. However, we did all connected in the mission of San Francisco. So this is the place that is bringing us all together. And this migrant community has its roots in Latin America. What gives the Mission District its character, going back to the history and the culture that gave us the mission?
Well, I definitely appreciate all of the efforts of the artist. I'm very, very, very excited to see what other opportunities present themselves. And my heart is deeply embedded in the mission. So this is very close to my heart. And I'm just so inspired by the project and by the festival. And I've learned a lot about, you know, determination and the different funding sources that are out there. And I think the part that will be the biggest takeaway for me is just, you know, that longevity of relationships built through community and kicking the boxes, you know, that people label us in, just kicking those boxes aside and making the music and reminding folks that we're all still here in the mission, and there's going to be lots of great music made in the future. So I look forward to seeing more of La Diaspora Festival.
Yeah, and I have to say that I'm really deeply moved by the integrity of this community and the willingness to come together day in and day out to produce an event that is beyond any one individual. And I think it takes a lot of passion, collaboration to make something like this come together. And it's deeply appreciated because we have witnessed the arts go through dramatic change in the Bay Area, especially with migrant communities leaving the area. And so having a safe space and an open place for people to come together, especially for the Latinx community, this is vital for preserving the culture and the mission and preserving culture in the Bay Area. So this is a conversation I hope that gets expanded and grows from here on out.
Thank you so much for supporting this vision, guys. I really, really appreciate your time. And I hope that everybody that listens to this podcast, you know, realizes that there is so much possibility as long as we're willing to come together, honestly, you know, with compassion, with radical compassion to everybody and to celebrate everybody's contribution, right? Because I think that belonging and contribution are the keys to creating things that really can transcend ourselves. And yeah, this is just a little seed of many. I know you guys are working individually and collectively in bigger, in other projects that are also very inspiring. And I have felt deeply inspired by your visions and your commitment to bring those to fruition. And also, I cannot wait to see what collaborations and what other things are going to come out of our cohort. Right. Thank you so much to EAP for all the support. Thank you to Rihanna, and thank you to Shelly. Thank you to everybody that has supported this our cohort and the vision of the EAP. And yeah, well, if you're interested in participating, go apply right now. We're gonna leave you with a good friend of mine. His name is Jose Lobo. He's a Venezuelan singer songwriter, and this is his latest single, Frio. Adios.
Dame un cuento sin calendario. Hay 27 letras en el abecedario. Si lleva la che y la q, vente pa' acá que te quiero compartir muchos haikus. Sigues el ritmo de 5-7-5 y viene de Japón, pam, pam. Necesitas ahínco. Acá yo no tengo celular, no me marques al 415. Lo llevo en modo avión, oh, oh, porque no soy de aquí. Si tiene frío, vámonos al río. Yo llevo la toalla para secarte. Y si te gusta el arte, dime quién es lo malo. Vámonos de viaje, no necesitas traje. Piensa en la sabana, qué grande puede ser. Yo me muero de ganas de conocer ese mundo afuera. No llevo mapa, solo voy en la bicicleta de la libertad. Cuéntame tu coordenada, que yo te encuentro allá. No quiero ser un padrón, quiero ser en otra parte. No quiero ser Napoleón Bonaparte. Je ne suis pas français.
And if you're cold, let's run to the river. I'll leave your shivers by my doorstep. Your shivers by my doorstep, oh. And if you're cold, let's run. We'll find flowing water.
Al río. Yo llevo la toalla, yeah, para secarte. Si te gusta el arte, yeah, será el impresionismo de Monet o Van Gogh con sus cartas a Teo, de los días que él aún no era ateo. Somos un banco de memorias, hecho de historias ajenas. No he ido a Cartagena, pero conozco de Colombia, yeah, yeah. Quiero volver a Amsterdam, aquella calle de lluvias y bombas, que todos esos psicotrópicos, porque mi cerebelo quiero ser la geometría que Pitágoras me convierte en poesía. Quiero ser un Guernica más, quiero ser yo mi propio canvas. Quiero el 3x4 y la bossa nova, que mi oficina no tenga pared. Quiero una colina para contemplar, que yo nunca sufra de sed, porque no somos más que una experiencia sensorial. A ti te gusta ver, a mí me gusta escuchar. Estamos entrelazados por el tiempo y su vertente. Lo llevo patente, lo llevo a la gente. Soy independiente, tengo autonomía. Busco ver el día en que mis melodías puedan tocar un poquito de tu frío, vámonos al río. Yo llevo la llanta para secarte.